Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries with Evangelist Aaron and Sheila Gervais. Tonight we're going to be covering the next and kind of our little bit of series on whatever. And so we're going to be covering tonight, honestly. So last week we covered It's the Truth, and now we're going to look at honestly. And so, of course, it comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so the last few weeks we learned that Jesus Christ is truth, and we can continue in that truth through the Word of God. We also looked at how the truth is applied to us so that we can respond and not react to the situations around us. This week we're going to look at what being honest is and how we are supposed to think on the things and what it means. The first thing we need to see is, once again, what honest means. Honest means to show principles, intentions, and actions that are upright and fair. To show principles, intentions, and actions that are upright and fair. And some closely related words are noble and honorable. This is one of the things that we can try to see through the world, but in essence, we really can't. When you look at being honest in the world, it is hard to see that at all. Our world is a very dog-eat-dog world where everyone is out for number one and where many do not do whatever it takes to benefit themselves. So in keeping with this concept, then, where do we find things that are honest to think about? Well, of course, as you know, all of the things we're going to think about come from the Lord. So the first thing we have to realize is that God is honest. Now, you might be listening to these messages and saying, you know, he makes the first point every time. It's God is. Well, guess what? God is always the starting point for everything. Why? Because he's pure, he's holy, he's righteous. Everything comes from God. The reason you breathe is because God wills it. The reason your blood pumps is because God wills it. The reason that the wind blows outside is because God wills it. So we have to start with God every time. So the first point is Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of what is honest. Honesty and truthfulness really go hand in hand. If I were to ask you to think of one person that is the most honest with you, you would bring an individual to your mind. And if I asked you why you would choose them, you would probably say because they were truthful with you. They don't skirt the truth or tell half-truths, but they're very, well, they're honest. And so we will see that one of the characteristics of the Christ is that he is honest. He is the source of all honesty. And so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Let me read that again. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Sarah, there are two things about God that we can count on. It is his character and his promises. His character and his promises go hand in hand. Christ embodies all truth, so is it impossible for him to lie? Do you know what that means? It means that all that he says in his word is true. His promises are sure to us today. In fact, I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 18 and 19, once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 18, actually 18 through 20. It says, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Now here's the pivotal verse. For all the promise of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. That's where we get that saying, God's promises are yes and amen. Here, Paul reminded the Corinthians of God's faithfulness. There was no doubt, there was no double talk with God. His promises would be fulfilled. There would be no wavering between yes and no. Jesus Christ was the premier example of this. Jesus is the embodiment of God's faithfulness and honesty. See, there is nothing in Jesus Christ that is a lie. There is no one who could have ever pinpointed to Jesus that he lied. In fact, C.S. Lewis wrote a book, Lord Liar, well, it says Liar, Lunatic, or Lord. And it's very important that we see this. A lot of people don't believe in who Jesus was and what he did. But the fact that he was a historical figure, a lot of people can't deny that. Well, he claimed to be God. He claimed to be the embodiment of everything God the Father is. And so when you look at that, okay, so either he's a liar, and of course nobody could bring an accusation against him for lying. They couldn't do it. So he either had to be a lunatic, and actually they have taken everything that we know about Christ and given it to psychiatrists and things like that. And after all said and done, they said he was one of the most sane persons in the world. So he wasn't a liar, he was not a lunatic, so it left one thing. It means he's Lord. And being Lord, he is totally truthful in everything he does. See, now take that deep within. Jesus Christ is totally honest with us. There, everything we read in his word is true, and they are true for you and I. Now, I know, there are promises that, as a believer, you may have waited on God for, but haven't seen yet. Maybe you are a believer that you've given your heart to Christ, and you're waiting for God to bring you that special someone in your life, and they haven't came yet. In fact, maybe that person came into your life a few times, and you thought for sure that was it, and then they end up being a jerk, and you realize that wasn't them. And so you wait for someone else, and then all of a sudden they're a jerk, and you realize that's not them. You may be in a part right now that you're just not going to look anymore, and let God bring them to you. Guess what? Perfect. That's what you should do. And so, and there's other things you might be waiting. You might be waiting for that job to come through. You're working two part-time jobs just to make the income that some people can do with one. I know that's hard. I know the financial struggles are very rough. And God promises to be your provider. But you're saying, well, it feels like he's not providing. I'm the one doing it. I'm working two jobs. But here's a simple fact. Did God give you those jobs? Yes. Did he give you, once again, the breath to breathe to do those jobs? Yes. Two hands, two feet to do those jobs? Yes. And so the thing is, praise God for what he's done, but don't stop searching. Now, also, I'm going to say do your part, just a little side thing. Do your part. You know, a lot of people say, I'm looking for a better job, but don't ever put any applications out there and don't even put a resume out. I knew I had a person one time in my office. He was complaining that he had been looking, waiting for a job for a year, And I finally asked him, have you put any resumes out this month? He said, no. God can't place a resume you don't send out. God can't bless it. God can't bless an application you don't fill out. And so the thing is, you got to do your part. Some of us, it might be you have to go back to school, learn a trade, do something. And so there's an old farmer saying, it says, pray like it's all up to God. Work like it's all up to you. And that is so true. And so there's some promises that God has for you. Maybe you're out there and God has called you to ministry and you have answered that call by saying to him, yes, send me. But yet no doors seem to be opening. And my advice to you is just to keep believing. God didn't call you for no reason. Let this time be a time of strengthening you in him, drawing closer to him, studying that word, because everything you do now in preparing, is you're going to use. every situation you go through, you're going to use to minister to somebody else. And so the thing is, his promises are true. Now, once again, to us, this may seem, when those promises are not fulfilled yet, it may seem that these promises are just not going to happen. But there are many reasons that God may be delaying the promise that you are standing on, but he will still fulfill what he has promised in his word. He will do it. See, there are sometimes things that prevent the promises of God in our lives as well. And even though this is not popular to some TV preachers, because, you know, it's your best life now, and everything is going to be hunky-dory, and God only blesses, and he never waits, and we know a lot of that stuff is not true. Not according to God's word. There are some things that can block his promises to be fulfilled in your life. One of the things is flat-out sin. If God is trying to get you to repent of a sin and try to get you in a relationship, a closer relationship with him, and you are not doing it, well, that can block the blessings of God, his promises, for being fulfilled. Because guess what? If he fulfills that promise for you, but you do not repent of that sin, it can actually harm other people if he would grant the promise to you. And so that's one of the things you got to watch out for. It might be unbelief. You just don't believe. You ask God about the promise to be fulfilled, but at the same time you say, well, I doubt if he's going to do it. That's what the Bible calls a double-minded man. It says the double-minded man shouldn't think they're going to receive anything from the God because they're not showing faith in him. And so there are some things that do hinder it. But so what do? Is you say what we talked about last week. God, search me. Try me. Get into my heart. Get into my life. Show me if there's any wicked way in me. And then what God will do is he'll work on you. And as he's working on you, he will build and start moving on those promises for you. And so, you know, going back to, there might be a person that God is working for you. Guess what? He's working on their life too. Because he wants them to be ready for you as you're ready for them. See, God knows what he's doing. So in that meantime of waiting for those promises, trust that God is honest, he's truthful, and his promises are yes and amen. And so keep holding out for that. And so you got to understand that's what's going on in our lives. The important thing is that we have faith in his promises that derives from him being totally honest. The second thing we're going to look at is we are to be that example of Christ, of that which is honest. We know that as Christians, we are to be more like Christ, and we're going to look at that in a moment. But we are to be an example of what Christ is. I'm going to turn back to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. And as I'm returning there, I'm going to encourage you, when you are listening in our broadcast, whether it's Sunday night at 6, or Tuesday lady night at 6:30, or Grace in Your Face on Thursday nights at 7, I encourage you to have your Bibles open. Have your Bibles open, whether it's your device on your phone, your whatever, if you have one of those apps that actually sound like pages turning, the Bible. I ask you to get it out and follow along, because you know our opinions don't mean much. But what God says in his word changes lives. And so I want you definitely to be doing that. And so Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, what's a false balance? That is, you know, when they would do business, they would measure out grain. Simply put, they would hollow out some of the weights and mark them. And our weight, it'd be like half a pound, quarter pound, pound. But they would take out some of the stuff, so actually the half a pound actually only weigh a quarter pound. The pound weight would actually own half a pound. So when the people were bringing the grain and they would weighing them out, they were being cheated. And so, and once again, he says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. See, dishonesty is something that God really dislikes to the point that he calls it an abomination. Now, let me tell you, when God calls you an abomination, it's something to steer away from. Honestly, pun intended. And so dishonesty goes against this very nature. The very thing that led to the fall of man, listen to this, was a lie from the devil. He told Eve, did God really say? Did God really say? And he says, oh, well, you're not going to die when you eat this fruit, but you're going to know knowledge of the good and evil. You'll know. And so the first fall resulted in the lie. Now, what's interesting, you know, one of the very last things that God condemns in scriptures? It's lying. Revelation 21:8. I almost cannot say that passage without singing it. Our youth would always sing Revelation 21:8. 21:8, 21:8, Revelation 21, wait, all liars go to hell. And it was just a reminder, and one day I actually caught one of them saying it to their parent. That was kind of interesting. But on Revelation 21:8, it says this: But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, listen to this, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, honesty is the reflection of your intimate personal relationship with God. Being honest shows people around you who you are. And when you lie, you know, and the Bible says very specifically, it says, Satan is a liar and the father of it. So when you lie, you are resembling the devil, the father of lies. Being honest resembles God, the Father of truth. And so Revelation 21:8, see, you see God delights in honesty and in us being honest. And what does he want this? Why does he want this so bad? There is one major reason. It shows him that we are becoming more like him. You see, one thing a father does like, he likes his sons or daughters to imitate some of the things. Mothers like their daughters to imitate them. It's a form of flattery. When a dad is mowing a certain way, if he catches his son mowing the same way, it meant the son watched the dad, realized it was a good way, and followed that. Now, if there's a better way, that's one thing, but of course we could never get better than Jesus Christ. And so there are things that happen that flatters, and when we imitate Christ, he delights in that. The Father wants us to love him so much that he wants us to imitate his character, to imitate his nature, and the way that he is. It shows him that we genuinely love him with everything we are. Another passage I'm going to look at is Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. It says, recompense, listen to this, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And that first part is very powerful. Recompense no man evil for evil. Don't return evil for evil. We all know what Scripture says. It says to love your enemies, be kind to your enemies, make room for God's vengeance, for he says, I will, you know, avenge. He would do the work. And we're to be, to show that, because his vengeance doesn't smack them over the head. His vengeance leads them to repentance. So they can become brothers and sisters of Christ. And so in that passage, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And look at that. God doesn't even want us to be dishonest to those who are dishonest with us. God actually wants us to be honest in the sight of all men, not just Christians, not just those we like, but to be honest with everyone, even our enemies. Next passage I want to look at, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 21. Let's see here. It says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. See, when we're honest before God, he delights in us. He loves it. It grows us closer to him. But you can't be honest before God and then dishonest before men. It is a contradiction in life, a contradiction in terms. When you're honest before God, then you're honest before men. And what does that do? It provides a really awesome witness of who Jesus Christ is. You've heard it said so many times, you may be the only Christian or the only Bible a non-Christian reads. And that is so true. And so you, as Christians, we got to really shape up. And realize this world is watching us. What we do sets the course for what they believe about Jesus. And I believe, and in my heart, I believe there's so many people who have nothing to do with Jesus because some professing Christian has given them such an awful testimony of who Jesus really is. So what do? Maybe that's you. Maybe you gave awful testimonies. And we all have. There's been times where we all messed up and didn't do the best we could. Well, we just ask God to forgive us. Ask God to help us. And He will. He loves His children to ask for help. Let me give you a little illustration about being honest. Adam Clark was an assistant in a dry goods store selling silk and satins to a cultured clientele. One day his employer suggested to him that he try stretching the silk as he measured it out. This would increase sales and profits and also increase Adam's value to the company. Young Clark straightened up from his work, faced his boss courageously, and said, "Sir, your silk may stretch, but my conscience won't." And that is so true. And so many people, even Christians, justify being dishonest at work because they want to get ahead. Don't do it, because God has taken note. If you think you're going to get a faster promotion, faster raises by being dishonest, even if your boss wants it, guess what? They might get what they want, but they're going to remember you're a dishonest person. And if you're dishonest with your customers, you're dishonest with coworkers, they know you're going to end up being dishonest with them. You're going to lie to them. And so they might get what they want right now, but on the back of their mind, that's going to churn in their head. They're dishonest. When is it going to benefit them? When are they going to be dishonest with me to benefit them? But the honest person who serves Christ in the workplace will not go there. They'll say no. Yeah, you might have a boss that fires you. Guess what? I was fired from a job one day for that very reason. It was in auto sales. Yeah, there's a lot of pastors and evangelists who actually sell cars because they think it's easy because, you know, you're using communication. And but I tell you what, it was right before Thanksgiving one year. And we had a salesperson. It was during the recession. A salesperson came in and he was selling cars right and left. You clipped your fingers, he was selling a car. And we listened in on some of the negotiations. That boy lied through his teeth. I tell you what, it's one of those things that you wouldn't believe what he said to be true if his tongue was notarized. And so he just lied all the time. But what happened was the dealership so needed more money that they had a meeting and they told everybody to imitate what he did, to lie, do whatever you need to do to sell more cars. And right after that, the boss was talking to me, and he asked me what I thought about it, and he knew I was a believer. I said, "I got to tell you the truth. I will not lie. I will not lie to sell a car." And that was an hour, the night before Thanksgiving. On Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, he came to me. He goes, "Well, I'm so sorry. We got to lay you off." Well, which meant fired. There was no coming back. And so the thing is, yeah, I was out at work. Yeah, I had to scramble for another job, but I was honest before God. But now the second thing could be true, though, is sometimes you're honest at a workplace. Your employer could look at that, and I have examples now of just being integrity and living there, and living in, no matter if you have to work a separate, you know, secular job for ministers, but just being honest and being truthful. A lot of times that boss will look at that. Say, "That's the person I want to promote. That's the person I want to give a raise to." So you don't even have to ask for things. It's just the way you are. I know Evangelist Sheila, there's times in her life that she gets extra responsibilities and sometimes promotions and things like that just because of who she is, because they see that she's honoring God with what she does, honoring God with who she is, honoring God, and that there might be some people there that don't like that. But when the rubber hits the pavement, it's going to be noticeable. And so what happened to this young guy? Well, God honored Adam Clark for being an embodied conscience person by taking him from the dry goods store and fitting him to write a famous commentary on the books of the Bible. And so God saw that and honored him. See, honesty is something that distinguishes a believer from the world. It is a part of Christ's character that is displayed to a watching world that we are different. The third thing we need to look at is honest thinking and living brings God's blessings. Now, let me preface this before we even start. We don't serve God to get blessings. We don't honor God to get blessings. Because guess what? That's all selfish. You honor God because we owe it to Him. We obey God because He deserves it. But God is so good, He blesses back. It's just who He is. And so we praise God for that. See, there is always a blessing when it comes to God. God loves us so much that He wants us to obey Him. And when we do, He wants to bless His children along the way. So let's look at some of these blessings about living honest. Living honestly will give us long life. You're like, what? Yes, living honestly will give you long life. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 15, it actually comes right out and says that. Deuteronomy 25, verse 15. Let me read this to you. And thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. Remember, we just talked about that a moment ago. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Right there is a promise. If you are honest in your business dealings, I'm going to prolong your life. This passage really gives us an insight into the will of God when it comes to being honest. Once again, God is truth, and so He deals with us in only His truth, and He wants us to deal with Him and others in that truth, in honesty. Understand that God wants us to be honest in every area of our lives. He wants us to live honest in the home. Let me add something here. If you're a believer parent, and you ever tell your kid when somebody calls, tell them you're not home, what did you just do? You taught that kid to lie. You taught them it's okay. And so really, as a parent, you really don't have much to say when they turn around and lie to you. They're just imitating you. And so you can't do that. See, being honest in the home is the utmost of importance. Because that is where we set the example for each other, especially if you have children still living at home. You know, there are some things we need to do as believers when you have children still at home. One of the things is being honest with them. If you blow up your kid and lose patience with them, not only apologize, but you can also tell them, you know something, I got to be honest with you. That didn't obey God. That didn't obey the Word of God. Make it a teaching moment. Let them see that you're open and honest and real. Because then when they mess up, they won't just gloss it over and act like it's nothing happened. And that's what we do as parents sometimes when we mess up and gloss it over and act like nothing's happened. The kids learn that's how that they are to deal with life. Instead of being open and honest to God and open and honest with others. Let that be an example. We're also to be open and honest in the workplace, in the marketplace. Why? The reason that is the last place people usually give God access to. So many people can play lip service to God when it comes to living the Christian life in the place of business. And when they're a business, if they're at work, they usually push them aside. It is like the Christian life. God has no place in that box when they're at work. Listen, in the Christian life, He not only can invade all of our our categorized boxes of life, He owns all of them. He can open them all anytime He wants, and we need to, instead of closing them when they think He's not looking, we need to open every box in our life. And where we're at work, that's a box that He gets to come into. God does not get checked at the door. When you go to work, He comes with you. He watches. He helps you. And what will being honest in the business do for us? That our days may be lengthened. And so, but how is that true? How does God do that? See, God Himself is honored by us being honest with Him. And through that, it's just a promise. He's going to lengthen your days, whether that be better health, it doesn't matter how He does it. It's just a promise that He's going to do it. He will lengthen your days. You know, I say praise God to that. Most of the men in my family always die when they're in the 60s. You know, I'm like in the 40s. And if I look at that, I only got 20-something years left. I don't like that. You know, but my dad got to live to be in his, upper 70s. And I would love to be 100. But, of course, the thing is to be always ready. So when God does call your home, it's still a home going. It's still a precious time. But the thing is, however long He wants your life to go, it will be prolonged if you're honest. The second thing is living honest will give you a good conscience. a good conscience is something that's really worth more than gold. Hebrews 13, verse 18. Let's look at that here for a moment. Hebrews 13, 18. Says this. Pray for us. And this is the writer of Hebrews. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. See, how do you feel when you don't have a good conscience? You didn't live honestly. Well, you can't sleep. It nags on you, and you always feel that you are in a bad relationship with God, because guess what? You did. You're messing that up with him. And so we got to watch that very carefully. You see, a mother was helping her son with his spelling assignment and came to the words conscience and conscience. When she asked him if he knew the difference between the two, he responds, "Sure, Mom. Conscious is when you are aware of something, and conscience is when you wish you weren't." And that's a pretty good little analogy there. See, it is bad conscience. And one can either do one of two things. You can try to suppress the conscience, and it will get seared. I was just talking to someone last night, and she was telling me that she's afraid when she does bad things because she no longer feels bad. And what I had to explain to her was that's the conscience being seared. She's getting to the point, she's kicked God out, the Holy Spirit out from convicting over and over and over and over and over, that it no longer feels bad. So what she has to pray is dedicate her life and ask God and the Holy Spirit to come invade every part of her mind so that everything that doesn't please him doesn't please her. And everything that pleases him pleases her. So that's one thing you could do. The other thing you can do is just, once again, is align your life with Christ and let him forgive and help you live right, which will give you a good conscience, which will give you the peace of God as well. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, goes into that. Acts 24, verse 16. Let me turn there here. It says this. "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience," listen to this, "void of offense toward God and toward men." What it means is if you have an offense to somebody, it bugs you until you make it right. It bugs you until you make it right. "And he exercises himself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." So it's very important that we see that we need to make that check it every single day. The last point is living honestly will bring you to be with Jesus Christ home in heaven. Amen. That is our goal, to be with Jesus Christ home in heaven. That is every believer's goal. That is it. And so that is one of the things going to happen. In fact, I want to turn to John chapter 8, verse 32. You didn't know you're going to go through sword drills when you listen to this, did you? But hey, it's all about the word. John 8, 32. It talks about this, Jesus speaking, "And ye shall know the truth." And of course, the truth is Jesus. The truth is his word. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And what's that free? It's free from sin. It's free from bondage. It's free from having a destination of hell. Free to have God. Free to live in victory. Free to be heaven bound. And what it calls it? Truth. Honest truth. This is the goal for every believer. I don't think sometimes we make this goal as powerful as it can be in our lives. You see, living honestly is truth lived out. You see, you could know the truth all day long, and it stays there. But if you live honestly, you're acting upon the truth. So since Christ is truth in John 14, 6, we are to live with him in us and us in him. And to do this, we need to do it by being honest with him and others. The truth is living honestly, and the truth will set us free, it says. Living, this is free because we have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we are heaven bound. See, honest, living honestly, once again, is living the truth. Knowing the truth is one thing, but living it is applying that truth is honest. Being honest will dictate our actions to the truth that we know. Give you an example. Say you're driving down the highway when you encounter a sign that reads, dangerous curve ahead. Immediately you're confronted with making a choice. One, you can ignore the warning and maintain your rate of speed. Two, you can defy the warning and speed up. Or three, you can observe the warning sign, be alert, and slow down. You see, whatever response you exercise, you will not change the truth of the sign. The sign is true. Dangerous curve. So whatever your response is, doesn't matter what about the truth. It's not going to change the truth. But if you're honest with truth, honest with yourself, you're not going to not believe that truth and speed up. You're not going to not believe that truth and just drive the way you are. If you're honest with yourself, you're going to believe the truth and you're going to slow down and be cautious, very cautious. You see, and that is what it is. The curve remains dangerous, regardless of whether or not you acknowledge the fact or not. So being honest with the truth and honest with yourself will help you live by the truth of that sign, and it will save your life. Some have lived so dishonest for such a long time that they don't know what it means to be honest anymore. Some lie so much, unfortunately, that they start to believe their own lies, and their own lies actually become their true reality. Everybody around them can see the truth but them, and it's sad. See, we have all known someone to do this, or maybe we ourselves have been there. See, Christ wants us to be like him. That is what the word Christian means. It means Christ follower, Christ-like. He wants us to be like him, and we are becoming more like him every day. Therefore, I encourage you, decide today, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and you will start to live honestly before him. It may be painful sometimes, but from this day forward, choose to allow God to make you more like Jesus. Think of those things that are honest. Don't think of the lies that hurt. Think of the honest things. This will make your days awesome and your sleep very, very sweet. You see, John the Baptist gave us an example of how this is. You know something that's interesting? I'm just going to tell you how God works. I woke up this morning because my last point, it just felt like it was left undone, and I needed something in there to really share. And I woke up and I prayed, like, God, what do you want here? What do you want? And he brought me to this verse. Now, it's so funny because Sheila didn't even talk to her, and I looked on Abiding Love Worship Center on Facebook. By the way, go there, friend us. And on there, she put this same verse and expounded on it. And I'm like, that is so God that we can have the same verse come to us in different places of the house at the same time without speaking, with all the verses in Scripture. That was just amazing. And but John the Baptist is the one that says this, and he gives it very right. How do you become more honest? How do you become more like Jesus? How do you do it? And he says, in fact, I'm going to add another verse in a moment because God just gave it to me. In John 3, verse 30, he, talking about Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. His power in me must increase. His ways, his honesty, his truth, his word, his compassion, his mercy, his grace, everything about Jesus must increase. I must decrease. And the verse that came to me that we want to add to that, how do we do that then? How does Christ increase in us? How do we decrease? It's found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is one of those that I actually put to memorization. And sometimes it's good to, even in this, is when you read the first part, is to stretch out your arms and actually do the action. It says this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me read that again. I am crucified with Christ. And a lot of times I have quoted that verse and stretched up my arms, just like in a crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. I must die to myself so Christ can live more in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christian, do you realize that verse right there will give you victory on every single point in your life? That verse right there will change the way you think, change the way you act, change the way you talk when you realize it is Jesus inhabiting your body through the Holy Spirit and he wants to shine through you to bring him glory. That's what it's all about. And so those verses, he must increase, I must decrease. That's what it's all about. Honestly, yes, living honestly is the way the Lord wants us to live and we'll be blessed through it. But before you do that, you need to be honest with yourself. If you are here and you're listening to this tonight and you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to be honest with yourself and not act like you're a believer going to heaven. If you have never had a personal relationship with Christ, you need to be honest and stop going. I'm not going to say stop going to church, but don't just go to church and act like a believer so everybody thinks you're a believer. You know something? Because when it becomes between you and God, he honestly knows the truth. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be honest with yourself, be honest with him, and say you haven't. But now you honestly want him. And then you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask you to wash your sins away. Receive him as your Lord, your Master, your King, your Savior, your best friend. Invite him to invade your life. All the boxes are open. Every room in your heart is open for him. Let him change you from the inside out. Give you new desires. And then rejoice in those desires because you're rejoicing in Christ. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for those who haven't done that they will redo that tonight. Just a real quick prayer for those who, Lord, are believers, but they just need to live more honestly in you and think of things that are honest. Lord, let them do it. Lord, I just ask you to just empower them to be able to do that in you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to take just a moment here and just kind of promote here Abiding Love Worship Ministries a little bit more. We don't promote our ministries, just promote our ministries. We promote our ministries because it's something God has given us. It's the avenue that God has given us to Evangelist Sheila and I to minister, to share the good news. And we not only want you to just befriend Abiding Love Worship Center on Facebook, but share our posts with other people. There might be a friend on your Facebook page that on your list that needs that encouragement for that day. And maybe you don't know how to sit down and write it out, but God has provided that. So just share that on your page. I know some of you do, and we appreciate that very, very much. Also go to AbidingLoveWorshipCenter.com because it's a lot of information. Sometimes we put blogs in there, but you can see what our ministry is all about. We ask you also to, if you need to email us, AbidingLoveWorshipCenter@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, AbidingLoveWC. We also have videos, Abiding Love Worship Center on YouTube. So we ask you to watch those videos and just you can actually see what we look like. And I'm the ugly one. And and of course, God made us all who we are, so we shouldn't say that. But the thing is, watch those videos and bring it into your heart what we're doing. But also promote this Blog Talk Radio / Abiding Love Worship Center. Tell other people about it. If you're being ministered to, we ask you to let other people know so they can minister well. And if you're a pastor or ministry leader in your church and you would like us to come, guess what? We minister in power in the Holy Spirit's presence. We let him be free to do what he wants and so to change lives. And so definitely email us. Go to our website. Contact us. We would love to come and share with you and your church what God is wanting to do. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. He wants to use people in a mighty way. So thank you once again for listening. We praise God for him and for you to listen and just be the child of God that you are. God bless you very much.